Want a recipe for success? Step one, visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses. Step two, click on my link to browse OCD Training School's amazing course catalog. Step three, enroll. And step four, enjoy learning. With no added cost to you, you can support the OCD family community while grabbing some continuing education or learning how to bridge yourself to self-help strategies for OCD. Again, that's OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses. And use my special link to sign up today.
Hey, fam, did you miss me? Well, if you follow OCD Family Podcast on social, then you're probably aware I was traveling and participating in Chicagoland's 1 million steps for OCD walk this past weekend. So settle in, because I am here to tell you all about it.
I'm Nicole Morris, licensed marriage and family therapist and mental health correspondent. And let me be the first to say, welcome to the family. The OCD family, that is. I am here to create a community of support for family members, spouses, partners, parents, adult children, as there may be adult words, and chosen family of OCD sufferers and their community. I've had over 22 years of experience in the mental health field, but please note that this information does not qualify or substitute as a diagnostic evaluation, therapy, or treatment, and it is presented on an as-is basis. Please follow up with a qualified mental health provider in your area regarding concerns for yourself or loved ones. Thank you for joining us today. Now, let's get started.
Okay, family. Hello. And I can now officially say, happy fall, y'all. Even though I've been embracing my inner pumpkin spice, and do so year-round, really, judge if you must. September 22nd marked the first official day of fall. And you know what? Big day. Because it also marked this year's OCD walk in the Chicagoland area of the States under the literal umbrella of OCD Midwest. Now, OCD Midwest is an official affiliate of the International OCD Foundation. And let me just start off by saying that if you're not from the Midwest, or maybe you aren't even familiar with the geographic area called the Midwest here in the States, which, ironic note, is actually more east than west of the middle of our country, I want to encourage you to still hang out, hear some stories, and learn about why this walk matters. Because how we act or react as a community makes a powerful difference. And also, the origins of this walk is worthy of honor. So it is important to not forget, and its awareness and support raises some very important reminders. So while we'll be talking about Chicagoland and OCD Midwest, I want us to be thinking about that really more as a template of the walk. It happens to be the region I live and serve in, but there are still really helpful and powerful takeaways that we can apply to our lives now, wherever we live in the world. So please do stick around, because I'm going to be talking about Dennis Aslin and his amazing son, Nathaniel. I'm going to be sharing remote interviews that I took from this year's Chicago walk, and though it was pouring down rain, which was quite a feat, fam. I mean, pouring, like buckets of rain. In fact, I had to say, there were like two or three canopies whose inhabitants graciously allowed me to squat, more or less, to keep a bit drier, and the canopies would just fill and billow with water. I told another walker at one point, they were kind of reminding me, if you have kids and have ever gone to a splash pad, sometimes they'll have like these buckets that will fill up with water, and it'll have a precarious amount of water, and you never know when it's just gonna collapse. So there were folks walking around trying to help drain these pockets or punch out these pockets of water for the handful of canopies there, and we pretty much all got soaked. But you know what? It was still a great experience, family. So we'll be chatting about all of that. Also, I'll note, I talked briefly with Dr. Patrick McGrath, who is local to the Chicagoland region. And he was pretty busy emceeing a raffle and making his rounds. But I tell you, he did ask me, when am I coming back on the pod? I want to hang out with the fam again. And for Return Fam, you may remember, we last chatted it up with Patrick on last season's premiere, where we talked about the overlap of OCD and substance use disorder. And it's such an important topic. In fact, I was just talking with Dr. Alec Pollard this season regarding how similar our community, the OCD family community, is to an Al-Anon community with loved ones and chosen family of people suffering from addiction. So, Patrick, you're welcome back on the show. It was good to run into you. And I'll put some links to those episodes with Patrick and Alec Pham over on this episode's blog if you want to check them out. Additionally, we're going to be talking resources today, fam, because there are so many amazing resources available for our warriors and us, fam. And in this post-COVID era, the accessibility to these resources are so much greater because of their virtual reach. So we're going to do a resource roundup. Again, everything will be linked over on this episode's blog. Just visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com to check it out. And then, fam, we're going to think collaboratively about what this means for us to do this type of advocacy here, now, today. Maybe you live in a region with a walk coming up. Maybe you live in a country where you're thousands of miles away from any kinds of these walks. What does that mean for you? We're going to take a few pages from walk creator Dennis's story. But also, what I love about this conversation is that it's just that, a conversation where we get to be creative and bring our own meaning, our own honoring, and our own advocacy to creating more awareness and support for OCD and OC-related disorder warriors. So since there's plenty to cover, we're going to go ahead and dive in. But I do want to provide you with a trigger warning, fam, as this advocacy was born out of tragedy and tremendous loss from suicide or unaliving. So while I'm going to feature the Aslan family story, please proceed with discretion. But if you can, hang with us, fam, because Nathaniel Aslan's life and suffering has led to amazing advocacy and awareness, and his story can help raise awareness and prevent these kind of tragedies from happening to others by breaking stigma, growing supports, and increasing awareness. Talking about suicide is hard, I know that. And sometimes people fear talking about it will suggest or increase the likelihood of other people thinking about it, attempting it, or being successful with it. But the research actually shows the opposite, that rather than increasing ideation or attempts, it appears that communication about suicide helps to decrease ideation and increase improvements for mental health. So we want to honor Nathaniel, his family, and all the warriors who have struggled or are struggling with suicidality. But again, remember, this isn't therapy. If you or your loved one are struggling, please reach out to your local mental health or medical health provider. And in the case of emergency, go to the hospital, dial your country's emergency code. Here it is 911. And I will also link 988, which is the suicide and crisis hotline in the States, open 24/7, available if you ever need it. And for this walk, Nathaniel's life and his death were foundational to how these 1 million steps came to be. So let's learn more. Okay, fam. So in preparing for this talk, I came across a video of Dennis Aslan, creator of The Walk, sharing his story and the origins from one of these powerful community walk events. Dennis was the guest speaker at the 2021 Philly Area Walk here in the States, and attendee Dr. O'Brien graciously shared a recording of his speech on YouTube. If you would like to check out Dennis's entire speech from which this was sourced, I will have that video linked over on this episode's blog as well, again at OCDFamilyPodcast.com. But I will say, Dennis has been around and chatting and sharing about his story. I mean, that is the heart of his mission here, both with the International OCD Foundation and through his own nonprofit, walkingwithnathaniel.org. But I'm going to play some key points from his sharing, helping you, fam, to better understand the foundation of how this advocacy and awareness came to be. And we will discuss along the way, when applicable, strategies we can learn and apply from Dennis, from Nathaniel. So let's listen to Dennis's story.
My name is Dennis Aslan. I'm also known as Walking Dennis. And the guy who in 2012 decided to walk from Cherry, PA, which is in Westchester, all the way through Boston, in memory and honor of my son, Nathaniel. I think you know that Nathaniel died at age 24, and he took his life. And after a 13-year struggle with OCD and BDD, body dysmorphic disorder, and the Bolt Center International OCD Foundation did not cringe at the thought of my trying to do a pilgrimage in his memory. As a matter of fact, they supported it because they knew that it was going to help get the word out about this particular disorder and to get people to be more familiar with it. So they supported me. I made it to Boston in 6.5 weeks. And they welcomed me in Christopher Columbus Park, which is right on the harbor. And that's interesting to me because in Spain, when you're on the Camino, you get to Santiago and Finisterre, which means end of the earth. And when you get to the Boston Harbor, there's actually a little island that's called end of the earth. So I thought the metaphor was too powerful for me to do the math, folks. For 525 miles, you average about 2,000 steps in each mile, and then that equals 1 million plus steps, and that's where the name came from. They launched the first official walk to foster a sense of community, and that's why we're here, and for all those affected by OCD and related disorders, and to raise funds for the work of the foundation and the local affiliates.
Okay, fam. So let's pause here for a minute. Dennis references the Camino, and while our European fam may be very familiar with it, I want to provide some context for people new to learning about this pilgrimage. The Camino de Santiago, or the Way of St. James, is a network of ancient pilgrimage routes leading to the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in northwest Spain, where the remains of St. James are believed to be buried. It's traditionally a Christian pilgrimage, but it has evolved into a popular trek for people of all backgrounds seeking spiritual growth, personal challenge, or cultural experience. The most famous route, the Camino Francais, starts in France and spans approximately 780 kilometers. Let me say that again. That is a whole lot of distance. 780 kilometers. Pilgrims known as peregrinos walk or cycle the path, collecting stamps in their pilgrim passports and reflecting on their journey. Okay, so how did the Camino inspire Dennis's more localized Camino of sorts to honor his son, Nathaniel? Let's check it out.
I've often asked many questions about my original pilgrimage. The biggest one is, why? Well, when you lose a son, first child, face cruel disorder, you're angry, you're upset, you're irrational, and you mourn the loss of a precious life on earth. More simply said, my son, Nathaniel, was there to live. He had all the special qualities of a person blessed by the universe. Good looks, gentleman-like qualities, a magnet with friendship, intelligent, and an incredible good sense of humor. Then all CD and BVD Rod Grimm called all normalcy in life, and his world shrank from the potential president of his class or his school to a young man confined to his bedroom, unable to step out and face the world with any kind of courage and grace. As his parents, Judy and I, were challenged to give loving care despite the so many obstacles we met to overcome. We prayed hard to the universe, and believe me, we did. We wanted the outcomes to change. It did. Why Nathaniel? Why us? Why you? The promise of life slowly evaporated day by day over 13 years. By working with Nathaniel Project, grew out of an unceasing grief. My daughter Carrie had just finished college and graduated 3 weeks after Nathaniel died. But she had one remaining credit to fill to get her diploma. And that was a May term, 3 weeks to walk the Camino de Santiago in Spain. After her exam, she just couldn't do it. And despite our encouragement to do so, she says, I can't. Her brother Nathaniel was her best friend. And Judy and I then offered if it would help that we win with her. She accepted that. She says, yes, I think I can do it. So together, mother, father, daughter, and a group of 50 college students from Maryland College in Richmond, Indiana, we took our healing steps on a recognized World Heritage Trail, a sacred path for northern Spain, rounding our grief with each kilometer we walked. It was difficult work. It was unrelenting work. And it was merciless every day, but it was tremendously daring. So when I returned home, I had to continue to walk because that's the only time I felt better. I walked in circles in our neighborhood. But then one day I had a thought. Why not a pilgrimage here in the United States?
Ooh, fam. Pretty powerful, right? After Nathaniel's death, Carrie has to complete her college journey, literally, and she couldn't. I can't even imagine how overwhelming that must have been. But Dennis and his wife flew over with her and her peers, and they walked it together. And part of what I love is the imagery here, because not only did Dennis go on to create this walk for Nathaniel's memory and for breaking down stigma and bringing awareness to our communities, fam, but they first walked this journey together. And isn't that what we do, fam? We walk these roads, these paths, these terrains together as families. Sometimes it's just somehow putting one foot in front of the other through grief, through pain, through suffering. And so they, as a family, go out and they do this. And then Dennis, realizing that this walking, it's one of the few things that make him feel quote unquote better. This leads him to propose the following to the IOCDF.
I said, let me go to all the places Nathaniel has been hospitalized or had been on treatment. The places that were good places where he was born in Bryn Mawr, where he died in Bryn Mawr, PA, where he went to school, where he worked part-time, where he was hospitalized on several occasions, where he was in treatment. A trajectory then just became perfect in my mind. And I saw a path from here all the way up to Boston. I couldn't walk into State I-95. I would have gotten stopped immediately. But I could take the bus routes from Cheney all the way up to Boston, going from Cheney to Bryn Mawr to Bella Kenwood, I thought to be UNTC here, to Philly, to Kent Space near Allentown in PA, to New Jersey, to New York City, to Long Island, to the very tip of Long Island, Orient Point, cross the ferry to New London, Connecticut, continue walking all the way to Providence, Rhode Island, to McLean Hospital outside of Boston, and finally to Boston Harvard. I still do have three daily requirements. One, to walk at least 10 to 18 miles a day. Two, to blog each evening about my journey and thinking that happened during that day. Three, to speak to at least 5 people about OCD and BDD, not professionals. It was a tough assignment on all three counts. First of all, it's hard to walk that many miles every day for 6 weeks or 6.5 weeks with a 40-pound pack on your bag at age 64. It was hard riding an interesting ball every evening, topical about what I experienced that day. When you're dead tired and you're aching and you have blisters on your feet. And it was hard to talk at local Dunkin' Donuts or 7-Eleven or Wawa or an equivalent of that. We said, so guess what I'm doing? They would look at me with disinterest when it was only 5 to 10 or 15 miles. But by the time that I got to 200, and 250 miles, they paid attention.
Amazing. Amazing, right, fam? Amazing. It's so powerful. So what did Dennis learn during his inaugural journey? Let's listen as he shares.
Well, I learned many things, but let me just list a few. One, friends, we're not alone with mental health issues. Whenever I share Nathaniel's story, listeners share health mental health scenarios in their own families, and the deep silence and frustration thing about no one wants to talk about mental health issues. Two, it's therapeutic to walk, but it's even better to listen. When walking with the band, I learned to be attentive to the stories of others. Even though my story was interesting, their stories were also interesting. And I wanted to listen attentively. Three, advocacy at its core begins when you're being brave enough to share your personal story. That will lead to conversation and then lots of unexpected mutual support. Or a journey is achieved one step at a time. 1 million plus steps got me to Boston. However, the biggest challenge was taking that one step under my front door. 5, mental health is a whole W-H-O-L-E of any person that's real. Sound of body requires soundness of mind and spirit. Given the biology of the brain, so much we still don't know, but it's getting better. Let's be humble about that and not pretend. My humility will lead to greater openness and new possibilities. And now, friends, let's get out to why we're here today. Let's walk with our heads up high, and let's feel the power of an intentional OCD community here in Philadelphia. Let the natural setting that you see on the trail ground us, and as we stroll side by side, let that give us an opportunity to share our own stories, both as talkers and as listeners, and then realize we're not alone. You're not alone. I'm not alone. And finally, friends, I have to be grateful for the founder of the beast. It's not me. It's my dear son, Nathaniel. Thank you, Nathaniel. Look where you have come. Look at the people who are here. 34 different cities, growing year by year, can hold up their hands proud. Saying, yes, I have OCD, but I am a person, and I have a story to tell. You need to listen. Great. So when the pilgrims leave on the Camino de Santiago, and they greet each other as they walk the trail, they say, buen camino. That means good journey, good trail, good hiking, whatever interpretation you want to give her. The answer is when Camino's friends and thank you.
So now that we have a better understanding of why we do these walks, what's the meaning to it? I want to take you out to our very rainy, very soggy Chicago walk. And as I mentioned, we ran into friends old and new, even a few amazing past guests. So let's start with my fellow ginger ale, Madison, at Obsessively Strong on Insta and TikTok. And again, on this episode's blog, I'm going to have links to her past episodes where we talk more about her story and even got together for a game night. So you can check out her fierce advocacy on social and past episodes on the pod. But let's hear what she had to say in a very rainy Chicago. This is Madison at Obsessively Strong here at the Chicago OCD Walk.
Woohoo! Hello!
What you doing? Tell me, because your whole practice is here. And it's raining, y'all. You probably can hear it. It's raining.
But we're still out here.
That's right, because warrior's gonna warrior. So tell me what you guys are doing here.
Yeah, so when I was newly diagnosed with OCD, I was like, how am I gonna get into this community? And my lovely therapist told me about the walk. So I had gone last year as a lived experience warrior, and then I'm like, how do I get more involved? So I connected with OCD Midwest, which everybody can do, and see if there's any ways that we can volunteer. And then I joined their walk committee to help plan this year's walk. So today, I'm here in my pink t-shirt, helping with registration for all the wonderful people that come.
Awesome.
I'm hoping that everyone comes out from Chicago or from other states next year. Hopefully it's not raining or cold. So
yes, Chicago, because the OCD conference number 30, Big 3-0, is going to be in Chicago next year.
So if you didn't get the opportunity to come to the walk, make sure you look into the conference.
But honestly, there's like 150 people here today. It's pouring down rain. That's a pretty amazing outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, our warriors, they're worth it. So all right, great to see you.
You too. Thanks for coming out, Nicole.
Okay, love Madison. And fam, I have to say, she was killing it at the walk. It was pouring, in case I haven't emphasized that enough. It was very wet. And she was just stepping right up and into getting people checked in, taking care of whatever was needed. She was phenomenal. So if you're in the Chicagoland area, you can check out the group where she practices and definitely catch her advocacy and awareness on Insta and TikTok. Next, I ran into Angela Henry, LCSW. And for a return fam, you may know her as one of our Pans and Pandas superstars. She does so much great work with that treatment community. But that's not all she does. She's also a fierce leader in our OCD field. She's so knowledgeable about OCD, body-focused repetitive behaviors, tics, anxiety disorders, and she just so happens to be my next closest treatment therapist in the northern region of our state, a mere 100 miles away, okay? So we've been friends for a hot minute, and we actually road tripped together for the Chicago walk, but I want you to listen so you can hear what Angela was up to at this year's walk. Angie!
Hey!
All right, y'all, you know Angie because she has been on the podcast a number of times. Talking Pants Pandas, she knows tics, she knows OCD, she knows it all. And she's amazing. We also carpooled over here and has been hanging out with me all weekend. So tell me, what are you up to at the walk today?
Yeah, so it's not a great day out here, but it's so fun to see everybody come out and support OCD. And a few years ago, actually, Nicole and I, we were in BTTI together.
Yeah.
That was sponsored by a scholarship by OCD Midwest. And they really felt more clinicians needed to be trained in Indiana. And we love how they were seeing that need and opening up space and resources for people to be trained. And part of that was that we would come to support an OCD walk. And so here we are.
Yes. And Angie, you're also helping spread information about ICPT at this year's walk,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I'm excited to do that. So, you know, what we want to have people notice is that there are lots of great treatments. ERP is a great treatment. ACT medications, also ICBT is another evidence-based treatment as well.
Awesome. Well, you know what, fam? I always have resources over on this episode's blog, and I'm going to include the scan card that Angie was sharing at this year's walk. And it's awesome because there are treatment options. I made a whole little Scrabble board and I learned it out. So maybe I will share that, Angie. Angie's like, you should share that on social for this episode's podcast. You can check that over at OCDFamilyPodcast.com.
Absolutely.
So, excellent. All right. Well, great seeing you, Angie.
Love it. Fam, let me just brag on Angie for another minute here, because as I'm sure you can tell, she's so warm and so lovely, but she also has such a heart to serve others. In fact, as we were hanging out in the downpour and I was collecting a few of these remote interviews, Angie stepped up and into all of the administrative tasks it takes to create these remote moments. Bless her heart. She was grabbing signatures and coding clips and juggling bags and equipment in the literal downpour. And seriously, she's just an all-around amazing person with the kindest heart, whether for her clients, her loved ones, or her friends. And beyond that, she's phenomenal at what she does. If you happen to be at this year's 29th International OCD Conference in Orlando, she did the most beautiful real self-treatment demonstration during the inference-based CBT talk. She also leads an informal consultation group for the inference-based CBT treatment community for free, y'all, just so folks can get more comfortable with using ICBT and applying the fidelity of the model in their casework. So she is amazing, and I'll mention that in addition to adding her infographic about ICBT that she passed out at this year's walk, she also went into Sunday's walk with a focus to help bring this to our own home state of Indiana, which we quickly learned was already in the works. But she is here for it and doing everything she can to make it work, fam. That is her heart, to make more learning, more outreach, and more advocacy come to life. So again, check this episode's blog to learn more about Angie, her practice, her work, and to snag links to her prior episodes on Pans and Pandas. Okay, and last but not least, I had the opportunity and pleasure of speaking with new board member Ellie Skelton from OCD Midwest. And again, this walk was in Chicago, which is part of the Midwest area, albeit east of west. But this extends beyond our physical region, fam. Because as you'll hear, we talk about what do we do? How do we expand advocacy, whether it's here in the States or anywhere else in our global neighborhood? So listen as we learn how Ellie came to be involved and how advocacy is turning into action
even by expanding within our tri-state area.
Hi, my name is Ellie Skelton.
I heard via your hubs that you're on the board now for IOCDO.
Yes, it's part of Outreach and Connection for the three states.
If you would be up for even talking about how that board appointment happened, because I'm always fascinated by that.
Well, actually, I've been a part as a volunteer and on a committee for the OCD Walk and just of OCD Midwest. And I was talking with Blair, our president, and just noticing, you know, where is there a gap that we could be fulfilling? One, we have amazing people with lived experience and on the board in Ohio and here in Illinois. But I just saw maybe a gap in Indiana, wanting to really connect people, start an OCD Walk there. And it kind of organically happened. And so very thankful for it and kind of have a more even, I think, pointed mission and direction to bring a cohesiveness to all three states as part of OCD Midwest. And so I just see a need, and there's great clinicians in there out there in Indiana. But how do we all come together while respecting, it's going to be sometimes a lot of work outside of just your job that you're doing. So I want to be respectful of burnout, but I also want people to feel, I think what we feel here in Chicago and then Ohio, like, we're here for you. You have a team. Ask all the questions. I want you to feel supported and doing the work. And then also people with experience. So excited for you guys.
And what I will say for the family listening is that we're talking about a certain regional area, but you can even think about and localize this to the regional area that you're in.
Absolutely.
Like, how can I get involved? How can I be a part of the community? Because one of the things we talk about on the podcast a lot is how we're better together. And this is really being the community, right? Being able to be out here together, do this together, fight OCD together, even for like our region. Because as most people tuning in know, for any new fam joining us, I do live in a cornfield, happens to be in Indiana.
Yeah.
But again, I don't want you to hear this and think, if I'm outside of the Midwest or even Indiana, does this apply to me?
Yes. I support patients across five different states, including Tennessee and Kentucky.
Yeah.
And they're having their first walk in Tennessee.
They are.
Oklahoma, they have their walk on, I think, October 19th in the Oklahoma City area. So it's anywhere, right? I think we have a need in Kentucky as well. So from rural to any city, let's just make it happen.
Yes. Love it. All right. Ellie, it was a pleasure. It's raining, although it's the least amount of rain it's been all day now that everything is broken down.
Great timing.
But yes, there are waterfalls happening all around us. But thanks so much. Check out OCD Midwest to learn more about Ellie. Where are you?
Your practice? Sure. Yeah. My practice is called self-empowerment counseling, because a way to feel self-empowered, and then fire us, right? All the best ways. So we support patients in Illinois, Indiana, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Florida. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Ellie, thank you for giving us a framework to think about how we can get involved in our own local regional areas to bring more awareness about OCD and OC-related disorders, like body dysmorphic disorder, which Dennis described. And I will note, fam, if you're newer to the OCD community and curious about what are these OC-related disorders, how or why do they fall under the umbrella of OCD, and what can we do for warriors? First off, let me say, you're in the right place. It's a great question, because we are a community of loved ones and chosen family for all warriors. All warriors, whether it's OCD or anything else. So you're welcome here. Also, whether we're talking about BDD, body dysmorphic disorder, or PANS and PANDAS, whether we're talking about TICs or BFRBs, described earlier as body-focused repetitive behaviors, we talk about the disorders or symptom presentations often here in the OCD family community. And while they aren't featured as frequently as OCD itself, I do try to increase education and awareness through my OCRD series every fall, OCRD being those OC-related disorders. And we revisit these topics through additional episodes or water cooler chats throughout the year. So I will have info on past OCRD series if you want to learn more about them. Also, I'll mention, if you jump over to OCD Family Podcast YouTube channel, I've also created a playlist there where you can just find different episodes specifically on OCRDs. And we've covered a range of OCRDs, BDD, BFRBs, emetophobia, hoarding disorder, obsessive compulsive personality disorder, also known as OCPD, PANS, PANDAS, and Lyme or other tick-borne diseases. And even emerging research on misophonia, which is like second cousin to OCRDs. Okay, it's not officially classified as an OCRD, but an emerging area of research that has enough qualities that we're like, girl, get in here. We're going to do our best to help you in whatever ways we can. So you can check out more info there. And I'll just note for anyone catching this episode hot off the press, Season 3's OCRD series will kick off in November with some amazing guests and featured OCRDs, so stay tuned for that, fam. Because we're going to be talking about BFRBs, BDD, emetophobia, digital hoarding, and OCPD. So there's lots of interesting learning ahead, but more importantly, there's hope ahead. So you won't want to miss that. And for a replay, fam, jet on over to the November catalog, faux show. There's so much important awareness and advocacy to be had. And I'll also have links to iocdf.org and icbt.online where you can learn some more about OCD more broadly, as well as OCRDs. Thank you for that. Alrighty, so fam, it is that time of the show where we are going to focus and lean into how we can apply all we've discussed into some bite-sized applicable nuggets today or tomorrow, this week, in the present. So for newer fam, the Intrusive Thought segment is a recurring segment on all long-form content where we do just that. Consider it an application station. And fam, Dennis laid out such a powerful, concrete, three-pronged goal every day that he faced his walk. His 1 million steps for OCD and BDD, remember? Prong one was to walk a certain amount each day. Prong two was to blog each evening about his journey, reflect on it. And prong three, he tasked himself to tell 5 new people about OCD and BDD, not including professionals, whether he was at a 7-Eleven or a park, no matter what. So what can we do in our present, in our day? Well, you don't have to be in one of these organized walks to walk, because the truth is we're already walking these walks every day with our warriors, whether it's a walk to the kitchen, to school, around our neighborhoods, or in our communities. So while I definitely love the idea and do want to promote getting involved in this movement and bringing awareness to our greater community through these established OCD walks, what I want to ask you to do, fam, is to commit to walking today, this week, whether it's to the other side of your dwelling or at the gym or at one of these registered events. That's step one. It doesn't have to be a million steps. We might be able to manage one step. We're all coming to this conversation from different spaces. But can we do one step?
Yeah.
Number two, I want you to reflect on what that means, that step, that journey. You don't have to blog about it, but I do want you to take some time for introspection, asking yourself, what does it mean that I or we were walking this walk for my loved one, for my warrior, maybe for me, for ourselves, for folks with lived experience, or perhaps even in loving memory of all the Nathaniels out there whose lives were not in vain. Think about it. Think about it. It not only honors their memory, but it honors our current struggles. It holds space for both how hard and how fierce and strong our community is. And then lastly, I know Dennis set an incredible bar for sharing with 5 people on the daily, which depending on where he was in that pilgrimage, not an easy task. But I'm going to ask, fam, if you can do this with even one person, can you share maybe about OCD or an OCRD, about mental health more broadly?
Maybe it'll be about you.
Or maybe your loved one's story, with their permission, of course. Maybe it'll just be a social media post from amazing creators like Madison at Obsessively Strong, sharing about what OCD is.
Maybe it's looking into treatment options, be it ICBT or ERP, medication, ACT, metacognitive therapy, asking some questions or sharing with your partner or friend about what you're learning.
Not sure what that means? Check out the infographic I created for the Chicago Walk to learn more, because we have evidence-based treatments available. And with options, we have more hope. For professionals, we can do this too. Whether we have lived experience or perhaps maybe just specialize in this area, let's ask questions, like Ellie's question here.
Question that I have for our OCD community, one specifically even for maybe Indiana or just any community that's wanting to get involved, is what are the best ways that clinicians or individuals with lived experience want to be pulled in to be involved in the community that also respects the boundary of burnout, of confidentiality, but what do they see as the future of this community in and outside the clinic?
It's a great question. And even if we're not sure of the answer, let's be curious together. Because as the Return Fam knows all too well, we talk about this all the time. We are better together. But you know what? Don't just take my word for it, because Dennis states it so perfectly.
We're a strong, roaring community that isn't afraid to stand up and to speak out boldly about mental health in general and OCD and OCD-related disorders, in particular as sufferers, caregivers, siblings, relatives, friends, researchers, therapists, and advocates. In my opinion, this is a community not to be messed around with, and that's why we're here today.
Preach, Dennis. That is us. We are in this together. We're here together as a bold, strong family. Even if we feel bogged down or weary along the way, we're walking together. We can lean into each other. Sometimes even carry each other, because we're in it together. So buen camino, fam. Buen camino. Thank you for joining me and our OCD family community. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please like and subscribe to the OCD Family Podcast wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Did you find this content helpful? Please consider leaving a review. The more people that know they're not alone, the better. For more information regarding today's podcast, please visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com and remember to join the email list while you're there. It will provide you with the most up-to-date information, resources, and the down low on the family chatter. Oh yeah, nothing says family
like walking for change with me and my gang.
That's right, I went there. And you can too at OCDFamilyPodcast.com.
Therapists, ready to shape the future of pediatric OCD treatment? Join the Next Steps in Pediatric OCD on-demand course from Angela Adamson Springer, LCSW, and learn how to adapt inference-based cognitive behavioral therapy for kids. With research still emerging, this course empowers you to explore new methods and contribute to the growing field of evidence-based practices. With OCD Training School's 365-day access for on-demand courses, you'll gain practical tools to help kids by adapting ICBT's signature 12 modules to be as creative as the kiddos you're treating. So sign up at OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses to support the podcast at no extra cost and support further growth and hope for our youngest of warriors.